Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
He will administratively be able to dominate everything. He won't need any sleep. He's Satan Superman.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Continuing our look at understanding end times in our times, Pastor Herron examines the rise of Antichrist with a message based on 1 John chapter 2.
While the Antichrist is a major end-time figure, the term Antichrist appears only once, and that's here in this passage, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 22. The Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even there are many Antichrists, whereby you know that it is the last time." And then he goes on to talk about the characteristics of Antichrist. And then in verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." As one author said, the Apostle John uses the term Antichrist both in the singular, the Antichrist, and in the plural, many Antichrists. John indicates that his readers have already heard that the Antichrist is coming in the future. Then he surprises them by announcing that many Antichrists have already come. So I want to answer these three questions in the time we have. First question is, how can we know who he is? I will answer the second question, what clues are there to the identity, the nationality of the Antichrist? And then lastly, the question is, when will he make his move? And so, that being said, first of all, how can we know who he is? And the Bible talks about a number of titles of Antichrist. There are about 20 the Bible specifically names to this person. Let me give you five that you should be aware of. He's titled in Revelation 13 as the Beast. Revelation 13, verse 1. The very word beast in the original is the idea of a vicious monster. Do you remember I talked about symbolism in Revelation? Symbolism is a powerful tool in the Bible that is used for and really transcends time. And that's many times when the Bible uses something symbolically. As I mentioned, I'm going to give you terms here. The beast is one. Number two, there's a second title, and that is he's called the little horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. The Bible also calls him the strong-willed king in Daniel chapter 11. And you remember I made the general comment that what Daniel is to the Old Testament prophecy, Revelation is to the New Testament. The Bible also says another title for him, number five, the lawless one, the man of destruction, excuse me. And then number five is the lawless one. Now, along with this, let me give you clues that are to the identity. Revelation chapter 13 talks about the clues of who this beast is and the ambitions that drive this beast. Fact is, Revelation 13, verse 4, the Bible says, "And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast." The dragon is Satan. He's empowering this beast, which is the Antichrist, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" In other words, the beast is here to deify, as one author says, I like the word, he deifies Satan. His goal, the Antichrist, is to elevate and make Satan worshiped by man. And then on top of all of that, he ultimately is going to dominate society. It says that he's going to overcome them and he's going to have power over the whole world. I think a fair question to say is, well, let's narrow it down. What nationality is he? The nationality of the Antichrist, whether the Antichrist is a Jew or a Gentile, and again, this is a safe assumption I'm giving to you, is not clearly announced or answered in the New Testament, but I think most conservative prophetic scholars would believe he's a Gentile because he leads the European Union of Gentile Nations, Daniel chapter 7. On top of that, his covenant with Israel promises Gentile protection for Israel, and if that's true, then the reality is he's probably a Gentile, for Gentiles are going to give protection for Israel. And then his rule is part of the times of the Gentiles and their domination over Israel. I personally think that he's not going to be a Jew. He's probably going to be a Gentile. The real strong possibility of him being somewhere out of Europe, I think, is a safe assumption to make. Let me give you what I also think to be the Antichrist would be the most outstanding and astonishing leaders the world has ever known. On the surface, he'll appear to be the epitome of human genius and power. He will possess multiple levels of genius. Daniel chapter 7, verse 20, he will be an intellectual genius. He will be somebody that will bring awe to the intellectual part of our world. The Bible says in Genesis 7, verse 20 as well, he will have an oratorical genius. He will have an incredible ability to speak probably multiple languages, if not all the languages. People will be amazed. I'm amazed when I hear somebody speak two or three languages. I've met people that speak eight languages. I'm like, whoa, I don't think I'm going to say anything. This guy is going to communicate to everybody. Daniel chapter 7, the Bible also talks about this Antichrist is one that will also have a commercial genius. Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, and we also know out of Revelation 13, he will dominate the world in Revelation 13. He will have full control over all commerce. He will end up controlling it all by dictating all the wealth of the world. On top of the fact, he will also have control whether you will be able to buy and sell and what number is he putting on you. I hope no number putting on you. But if you're unsaved and say, I don't believe any of this, this is all bunk, and you're sitting in the tribulation, you will end up, if you want to buy and sell anything, you will get a mark. It might be what Joe Biden said and having a little chip underneath you. I don't know. It might have whole new technology that we're right on the edge and it's not discovered, that they don't have to mess with any kind of chip. Bam, it puts on you and there's no tattoo on you. But the number's there. I don't know whether it's 666 or that's just symbolic of a number, but the reality is they're going to buy and sell. If you don't have it, you ain't buying. We know some of this right now. So if you see things like, whoa, the chip, it could be, but that's pure speculation. It could be that, you know, I'll tell you my general opinion is, you know why there's so proliferation with all the tattoos? Because pretty soon you get used to tattoos. I watch World Cup and like I told my son, I said, how come they got all these marks up here? Oh, those are sleeves, Dad. Really? Yeah, sleeves. Because in Europe, that's what you do. You put tattoos and you have a little sleeve on there and you have all these tattoos and you put, you know, your grandma's name and your, you know, daughter's name and your... It used to be tattoos, now it's body art. It used to be one earring, now it's like body piercing. Like how many more holes you want to put in? God gave you seven, use it, and don't put any more. Why? I'm half kidding about it, but the fact is that we all get a little bit accustomed to it. I was convinced as a high school kid, 9th grader, 10th grader, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Who worries about college? Yes, go Votech. This is what I did. I'm 38 years later, I'm saying the same things. It might be 38 years from now we're still talking about. I have no idea. But certainly, we are farther along in the process to realize that some of these events is going to happen. Many of you can remember 9/11. You know, the biggest event in my mind on 9/11 was not the amount of people in my office questioning their salvation. It was not that I saw more people here in our Sunday services than I'd seen before I came. I'll tell you the thing that registered the most to me was, whoa, there are talking financial issues that I thought I would never hear. The major rock of the United States and our economy was big time shook. And the reality is that somewhere America is not going to be the primary player in the finances of our world. It's just not. And so you end up finding this particular individual to be a genius commercially. And militarily, Daniel chapter 8, verse 24, he was going to control the armies of the world. The political genius, because he will end up dominating the one world government, the one world system, and he will, with the false prophet, the one world government. He'll have a religious genius in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, and he will administratively be able to dominate everything. He won't need any sleep. He's generated and empowered. He's Satan's Superman. And as one particular author, I think, did well in describing who he is, when the Antichrist comes to power, he apparently will promise world peace through a series of international alliances, treaties, and agreements. He will be a man that will have a full attention by the world. All the women will think he's the most good-looking guy in the world. All the kids will want to have their names inscribed on them because he is the guy that you want to be like. It doesn't say he's going to be one of the greatest athletes in the world. That's a speculation. Everybody wants to be like this guy. That would lead to thirdly, and the question would be then, besides what clues are there to identity, then you can also ask the question then, when will he make his move? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We won't look at all 12 verses, but let's look at it quickly. Because you had a church in Thessalonica, and they got a letter from Paul, and Paul had a great challenge and encouragement to this church at Thessalonica. And then they had questions about what we know it to be the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he answered questions about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he said in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And he went on to describe in verse 16, for Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and they which are alive and remain shall, and we get the word, caught up together, raptured together. They heard all this. Evidently, it started creating other questions, and so he wrote another letter. And along with that letter, he clarified some misunderstandings. Hence, you have 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, and we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin, there he is, the Antichrist, another term, title, be revealed, the son of perdition, another title. Satan is on a very short leash, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He said, I'm reminding you. And he's trying to clarify. And he said, verse 8, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. At the end of the tribulation, when Christ returns, the Antichrist will be destroyed. The question is, then when is he going to show up? As I mentioned, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. It's the Satan-inspired expression of lawlessness, rebellion against God, the things of God, the people of God. It's been alive since Satan slithered his way around the Garden of Eden, as one author said. It's been the driving force behind the whole terrible history of the human race. Wars, murders, thefts, rapes. But the Apostle Paul comments on this when he tells us that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, will not happen until, notice verse 3, the falling away first comes, the man of sin is revealed. He then tells us that you know what is holding him back is that he's going to be revealed at the proper time. He's basically saying in verse 6. So, only after the rapture of the church will the identity of the Antichrist be revealed.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189. Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.